Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Jesus said to his disciples, "In those days after that tribulation, the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its light, the stars will be falling from the sky, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. And then they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds, with great power and glory. Then too he will send out the angels, and gather his elect from the four winds, from the end of the earth to the end of the sky. Learn a lesson from the fig tree. When its branch becomes tender and sprouts leaves, you know that summer is near. In the same way, when you see these things happening, know that he is near at the gates. Amen, I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But of that day or hour, no one knows, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father." This is the Gospel of the Lord. Every Sunday we end our profession of faith with, "We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come." Our faith in the afterlife is one of the most important of our beliefs as Christians. Because apart from that faith in the afterlife, our lives here on earth become a journey leading nowhere. We Christians believe that God made us not for death, but for an endless life with him beyond the grave. As St. John's Gospel puts it, "God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that those who believe in him might not perish, but might have eternal life." The first reading today is part of a vision of the prophet Daniel concerning the end time. And it is remarkable because it contains the earliest statement of belief in the resurrection from the dead, as well as the first mention in the Bible of everlasting life. The Gospel today talks about the second coming of Christ, the time of which is known only to God. And that is why the disciples must maintain a constant watchfulness and to be ready whenever it happens. For each one of us, the coming of Christ will be our meeting with the Son of Man when we pass from this life into eternal life. Then Jesus adds, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away." And thanks to the Gospel writers, the words of the Lord remain with us to this day, and they are there to teach us, to guide us, to inspire us, to comfort us, but also to challenge us. Because Jesus alone has the words of eternal life. As we go through life, we become increasingly aware of how fleeting life actually is, and how tenuous and how fragile our hold over it is. This inevitably, at some time or another, gives rise to the thought of death. But the astonishing thing is that when we face up to the fact of death, it is only then that we fully appreciate the life that God has given us as His gift. Life is God's gift to us. But what we do with our life is our gift to God. And so we Christians are those people who live in the present time, but with an eye to the future. The church in our Sunday Mass reminds us every Sunday to wait in joyful hope for the coming of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And so our faith in the future is based on what God has done for us in the past, when He sent His Son to be a sacrifice to take our sins away. Our sins, that barrier that prevents us from loving God and loving our neighbor as Jesus commands us. And so, at the end of time, is it likely that God will conclude that this was all one great mistake? It is much more likely that God will bring the work of His Son, carried out at such great cost, to final completion. And yet we have so-called religious people who think that the end of the world is a time of destruction to be dreaded, that God is a God of wrath and vengeance, whom we must fear above all, and that He will punish evil by wiping out the universe and the human race. But the truth of the matter is that the end of the world means completion or fulfillment and not destruction. It will be a time in which all things will be transformed. And insofar as the shape of our world has become deformed by sin and by evil, then it will pass away. But God is also preparing a new world where justice and peace will reign, a world whose blessedness will answer and surpass all the deepest longings in our hearts. God is a faithful and loving Father who wishes the best for us, His children. As St. Paul reminds us, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, nor has it entered into the heart of men what God has prepared for those who love Him. And so God has created us for happiness, not for destruction. It is true that some people have claimed to know exactly when the end of the world will take place, and some of them even claim a special revelation. But the Gospel today speaks about the second coming of Christ at the end of time. But the timing of it is known only to God. And since we do not know the timetable of the end events, we should not allow ourselves to be led by false claims and speculations. But as the Gospel exhorts us, we should maintain a constant watchfulness. The purpose of the coming of Christ, we are told, will be to gather His elect. And this is something to joyfully look forward to rather than something to fear. And so, in the midst of an uncertain and changing world, we have something solid to rely on. As the responsorial psalm today puts it, I set the Lord ever before me. With Him at my right hand, I shall not be disturbed. You will show me the path to life, fullness of joy in Your presence, and delight at Your right hand forever. Amen.